97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, welcome into Monday here on the Mark Cox Morning Show. I'm Kim St. Ange, filling in for Mark, who returns tomorrow. Scott Jagow is here in the meantime.
Good morning.
And we are one day away from the big debate. And you have to wonder how they are prepping, Kamala Harris and Donald Trump. Really, Donald Trump is prepping all the time because that guy's going around doing campaign stops everywhere, and he repeatedly takes questions. And that's something that's very foreign to Kamala Harris. So this is going to be very interesting to see how this goes, especially with this rule, because as part of the rules, Kamala Harris really wanted to have the mics open. She did not want them muted like they were for the Biden-Trump debate. And I am so glad that they're keeping them muted, because I think that's going to work to Trump's benefit.
But I'm kind of surprised that she wanted it that way. I think, I don't know. She wanted him open. I don't know how she would be able to fend off Donald Trump in that situation. So I don't understand.
I think that's exactly why. I think she knows he can kind of go off the rails sometime and say some things that she then would be able to clap back and say, how dare you talk to me like that? How dare you disrespect me like that? You're a misogynist, and all the names that she wants to throw out.
Yeah, I see your point.
So I think that's going to force Donald Trump to be more reserved. And I think that tends to bode well, especially you hear me talk a lot about these suburban moms, these suburban women. Well, that's a key demographic that these candidates really need to try to win over. And for whatever reason, they tend to vote left. So I am very eager to see what happens with this debate, because there was a New York Times Siena poll that just came out over the weekend that has Trump up by 1 point over Kamala, 48-47. When you add in the third party candidates, he's then up by 2 points. So will that flip flop? Will it tighten, or maybe he can create a little bit more distance? You know, what's really sad, though, Scott, this Napolitan news survey found that 44% of registered voters, 44% even know there's a debate scheduled.
That's registered voters?
Registered voters. Oh, and of those, only 26% plan to watch.
I can't imagine what the unregistered voters have to say about it.
You know, but here's the thing. The illegals, I guess, would be registered because they are excited to vote. I'm sure the illegals know that there's a debate going on because they plan to cast their vote for one in Kamala Harris. Speaking of Kamala Harris, Bernie Sanders was talking on Meet the Press, and listen to what he said, because he was like, he basically said the quiet part out loud. Listen to clip 15.
She has previously supported Medicare for all. Now she does not. She's previously supported a ban on fracking. Now she does not. These, Senator, are ideas that you have campaigned on. Do you think that she is abandoning her progressive ideals?
No, I don't think she's abandoning her ideals. I think she's trying to be pragmatic and doing what she thinks is right in order to win the election.
You hear that? She's saying what she thinks needs to be said to win the election, and which I guess would mean whatever policies she thinks are going to work to win the election, that's where she's going to go, wherever the wind blows her. All right, we have a lot more to get to still here on the Mark Cox Morning Show. Carl, right now, let's get to the top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
The vice president understands that the American people are looking for a new way forward. That's why she's begun to lay out the planks of where she wants to take this country.
That's Harris's spokesperson trying to convince you, and I guess the voters tomorrow when they watch this debate, if they even watch it, that somehow the vice president, who's been in office for the last 3.5 years, is a new way forward. You see what's going on in Brazil over the weekend? Thousands of people took to the streets. Now, I don't know what they're saying because I don't speak Portuguese, but what I know, they are angry about free speech because the country banned X.
They've had 3 years to assess what happened. Why are they delivering a report after Labor Day in a presidential election year?
There's our pal, Pete Buttigieg, doing some damage control on CNN with Dana Bash. That was after the House Foreign Affairs Committee released a scathing report about the botched Afghanistan withdrawal.
The lawsuit heard here at the Cole County Court argues that the question put before Missouri voters on restoring abortion access is deceiving.
This is big, and as someone who is very pro-life, this makes me so incredibly happy. Let me explain what went down this weekend. Well, this really was Friday afternoon, right, Scott, that this ruling came down out of Cole County?
Yeah. The judge had a couple rulings, and that obviously was the biggest one.
Okay, so let me explain what's going on here. Like I said, the number of votes that they got on this initiative petition to get Amendment 3 on the ballot, that has nothing to do with that. They had more than enough, which is why Jay Ashcroft certified them and said, okay, you can put it on the ballot. Well, here's what happened. 2 weeks ago, some state lawmakers sued over this. And they said the wording on it that was presented to people to see if they wanted to sign it to get it on the ballot was too vague. It said phrases like reproductive health care, reproductive freedom. And they're saying that that could potentially include things like gender transition surgeries, even cloning. And I agree. I was very vague, and it allows for a lot of loopholes. The other thing they said was that the wording didn't inform the voters what current laws would essentially be overturned if this passes. And you have to do that for initiative petition.
Yeah, so it appears it could miss the ballot completely.
As of right now, it's likely not going to be on the ballot. What is key to remember here is the judge gave the pro-abortion group until Tuesday, tomorrow at 5 p.m. That's the deadline to appeal this.
Yeah, well, I don't. It's the deadline for the ballot to be locked. So you might have to appeal before that and then have a judge rule on it, because at 5 p.m., the ballot is locked on Tuesday.
Right. So if they do not get this appeal, it's done. Amendment 3 will not be on the Missouri ballot, and abortion will remain banned in the state, which is a massive, massive win. So pray for this. And we're going to be talking to Steve Rupp, who's the president of Missouri Right to Life. They've obviously been fighting for this, and he was the one who reached out to me on Friday and let me know that this had happened. I admit I had not seen it. What is interesting is, so this judge who made this ruling on Friday, this was a Cole County judge. Well, it was a different Cole County judge who, remember, like a couple days prior, had made a ruling saying that Jay Ashcroft's phrasing on this amendment was misleading and unfair, and he said, you have to change it. And I am so eager to see what happens with this, because this would be, I can't even put into words how big of a win this would be for all of those beautiful unborn babies. So let's again pray that nothing would come of this appeal and that Amendment 3 will not be on the ballot. We're going to be talking to Steve Rupp at 8:08 this morning. All right. When we come back, Carl. You are up, my friend. Do you have some good questions to try to trick me once again with real or fake news?
Yes.
You know, I have a lot of people who tell me that this is one of their favorite segments.
Well, they have very limited entertainment options then.
I would probably agree with that. All right, we're back.
Thanks,
though. Real or fake news.
It's not one of my favorite segments because I'm terrible
at
it.
You lose.
We are fighting the fake news.
Real or fake?
Fake. Phony. Fake.
News quiz.
It is time for the real or fake news quiz. I'm Carl, and we ask every Monday. We haven't done it for a while because last week was Labor Day. I ask the people in the studio if the headlines I am about to give them are real or fake. Today, we have our returning champion, Ethan Bright. Kim St. Ange, who is our leader for the year. And Scott Jago,
who rarely gets to play,
but has still by percentage. By percentage, you're doing better than Mark Cox, who is not here today
to defend himself.
And to defend himself. Actually, he's probably listening.
He might call in
right now.
Yeah.
Hey, Mark, you're losing.
If you're listening, call in on the Odyssey app and press the microphone button and leave us a message.
There you go,
Mark. Please do that. All right, Ethan Bright, since you are a returning champion, we will begin with you. A new study shows the average American on an average day is standing more than they are sitting. Real or fake?
I'll say it's real.
Kim St. Ange.
I'll say fake.
Scott Jago.
Man, people sit a lot. I'm going to say fake.
It is fake, but only by 46 minutes.
Really?
The average American stands for 5.2 hours, and they sit for 6 hours.
I'm really surprised they even stand for 5 hours.
And that does not include the
work and the couch.
Right.
Seems right. Like a is it like a five-hour shower they're taking?
I guess it doesn't count sleeping, right?
It does not count sleeping. It does not count activity either. Light activity is 2.2 hours, and moderate activity is also 2.2 hours. So... And I guess people don't work out in this study. Kim St. Ange, All right, you guys were asking why I was playing this song earlier, but this song by The Proclaimers, I'm Gonna Be 500 Miles. The International Space Station is traveling at a speed that from the beginning to the end of that song, they actually travel 1,000 miles. Is that real or fake?
Real.
Said that very quickly. Scott Jagow.
Yeah, I'll say that's true.
Ethan Bright.
Yeah, I'll go true.
It is true.
Well, I didn't know. I just...
You just guessed?
I just guessed.
You thought that would be...
Sometimes it's strategy.
Really?
If I sound confident, you guys look at me like I must know something.
Yeah, they
you
it
do
travels
know something.
7.66 kilometers per second. So from the first beat of the song to the last line, they travel just about 1,000 miles.
Who made that connection? Who came up with
some NASA nerd?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Scott Jagow.
Okay.
There's a new airline called Bark Air that will fly your dog from London to New York for $6,000. Real or fake?
6,000.
First class.
First class.
Real or fake?
I think it's doggy treats. All right, I'll say real.
Ethan Bright.
There's a sucker born every minute. I'd say real.
Kim Sainach.
I'll say real.
It is real. And if you want to ride with them, it's $8,000. Just your, you could just take your dog for...
Can well, you, no, you can't take your dog on a plane? I
but
guess
it's
some
small
dogs.
Ones. Private.
Yeah.
Private
well,
jet.
If you have like a... golden retriever that's massive, yeah. Right? If you have a little lap dog, you can't you take it? Just put it in a little carrier?
Yeah, I think so. I've seen
you can't
cats
have your,
on planes,
you can't
too.
Have your 80-pound dog
right, yeah.
on the flight.
So. Kim and Scott are tied at the moment. Ethan, you are way behind. But Ethan, you're up next. At the Iowa Theater Awards, plays about horse manure, toxic fake snow, and fried food are competing for the best play. Real or fake?
I'll go real.
Kim Sainach.
I'll say real.
Say it once more time.
At the Iowa Theater Awards, plays about horse manure, toxic fake snow, and fried food are competing for best play.
Sure. True.
All three of you say true. It is fake. Made that
I was
one
almost going to say fake.
Kim? Thanks to a viral trend, young Spanish singles are now looking for love in libraries. Real or fake?
I'll say real.
I mean, that doesn't seem... I don't know. Yeah, I guess so.
Ethan Bright.
I'll go fake.
It is fake.
Oh.
They are meeting in supermarkets, though, and supermarkets are...
So no one
catering.
Meets in a library?
No one. Yeah, no one's going
so
to the library.
So they dressing up and going to the supermarket?
Yes.
Nice.
They are.
And wear heels there?
And putting it on Instagram and or TikTok.
Of course.
You go to Costco, you get free treats, so there you go. You don't have to buy dinner.
Scott Jagow.
Mm-hmm.
In Kentucky, more DUI accidents happen in dry counties than ones that serve alcohol. Real or fake?
I'm going to say that's true.
Ethan Bright.
That sounds true.
Kim Sainach.
Real.
It is real. It is true. More DUI accidents and more DUI fatalities happen in dry counties than...
How many dry counties are left?
It's Kentucky.
I know,
I think where they
Kentucky
have the distilleries
Tennessee,
are dry.
Yeah, some of them are,
that's
yeah.
true.
Ethan Bright. The biggest cause of illness in a marathon is heart attacks. Real or fake?
That weird sounded to me. I'm going to go fake.
Kim Sainach.
Fake.
Scott Jago.
I'll say it's true.
Well then.
Ha-ha.
With his second win ever.
Nice.
Scott Jago. Yes.
That was the question that did it for him?
Yeah. Heart attacks and cardiac arrests actually happen most.
They do happen more than you think in those types of situations.
Congratulations, Scott.
Yep.
Well,
I'm a little
only drop
competitive,
in now and then for a win.
I guess. Whatever, Carl.
Hey, I'm not here for the rest of the week.
Oh, what? You're already checked out.
This is clearinghouse for me.
Hey. What would it be like to have an AI boss? We're going to talk about that when we come back. This is a good song, and this is probably the only Rolling Stones song that I know.
The Beast only of, one?
I mean...
That's impossible.
Well, that I could... If you play it, I can instantly tell you that's Beast of Burden.
Released on this day in 1978.
We know there's a reason why you play every single song.
Every single song.
All right, I'm Kim Sainange, filling in for Mark. He returns tomorrow. You know, we've all had the good bosses and just the really crappy bosses that you just can't wait until they leave, or maybe you leave. What do you think about having an AI boss, like a robo boss? Would that be better in some cases? You have to wonder. And that's why we asked Matt Rosen, who is the CEO and founder of Aleda, which is a technology consulting firm that's helping automate companies through AI. We asked him to join the show and explain this because apparently it's already happening. Matt, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on this morning.
So explain what this AI manager is.
Yeah, so if you think about what AI is really good at, it's great at automating tasks, it's great at creating insights out of vast amounts of data, and it's great at creating starting points. And so if you think about where an AI manager could be helpful, it might be distributing workload, might be good at helping employee communications, helping them solve problems. We actually used AI to do our review process, but it still required humans to gather the feedback and feed the AI the feedback and then deliver the response. So I think what we're going to see is not where you report to an AI and never talk to a human, but where the person that you report to is aided by AI in some aspect of assigning you work. And in many ways, AI might be a bit more fair, especially as it, you know, comes to distributing workload and asking for time off and do it in a way that's non-biased. So I don't see your boss going away completely, but you may have a boss that's very heavily aided by an AI.
Well, I think with so many people working remotely after the pandemic, it's got to be hard for a lot of these managers to motivate their employees. You don't see them in the office, so you don't really know if they're staying on task and getting their work done in a timely manner. There were some interesting statistics about the success rate when you involve the AI manager in trying to keep people on task.
I saw the same survey, and it is interesting. You know, there are some companies out there that are trying this out where they're having, you know, AI, you know, trying to keep people motivated, sending them messages. And in many ways, you know, AI doesn't, you know, need to sleep or stop to rest. So it can be ongoing and encouraging people or helping them with their work or being a sounding board on things. So I think there is some merit to what is being discussed. What I don't see is a future where humans aren't regulating the AI or checking in, because ultimately people like to interact with other people. We have a lot of introverted people as part of our workforce that, you know, enjoy working from home. But what we find is they also crave being around other humans and having that human contact from time to time. So, and I'm also seeing a world where a lot of this work is going more hybrid, where people are actually going in the office from time to time. And so right now, you know, most of the AIs we're talking about live, you know, in the cloud. They're not, you know, physical equivalents. So I still see a future where humans go to places and interact and do ultimately report to another human. But, you know, a lot of the communication could be via an AI agent that people do in their daily lives.
Matt, what do you think is the biggest drawback of an AI boss?
Well, you need to maintain some level of fairness and make sure that it's not biased. So if you're going to have an AI engine distributing work, someone's got to check in on it to make sure it is distributing work in a fair way. Also, AI, you know, while it can show empathy, it's kind of a fake empathy, and so people might feel like the AI is disingenuous. So those are some of the challenges. But an AI also doesn't solve complex tasks. We see oftentimes when you feed it certain things, it'll come back with things that are incorrect, and you don't want it, you know, telling people to do the wrong thing. And so there's always got to be a human in the loop. And that's, you know, something we're big believers out of the Aleda. We really are helping organizations identify what are the opportunities across their organization to use AI, and then quickly testing things to figure out, you know, which things are going to be viable so as they begin their AI journey.
Well, I believe in AI and making the workforce more efficient, the workplace more efficient. I can see some of the things you mentioned, scheduling and things like that. I just cannot imagine getting a text from an AI boss and seeing any value in that whatsoever. I think we should leave that kind of thing to the humans, right?
I agree, but think about this. You know, if you or I had an employee and they're late like 5 days in a row, we're going to get pretty irritated. AI doesn't get irritated. It's going to say, hey, you're late the fifth time in a row. So in some ways, you could take some of the emotion out of having to discipline an unruly employee. But yeah, if you're a hardworking professional, you know, in many different jobs, you probably aren't going to want to be talking to a computer, you know, 90% of the day. And that's where, again, I think it comes down to it's a human aided by AI, assigning work, you know, checking schedules, doing all the things a boss does, but still having that human touch and interaction. I think those that go too far to automate everything, I mean, you saw it with some of the Amazon warehouses, are going to face some backlash. In fact, there was a bill in Congress that didn't make it anywhere called the No Robot Bosses Act, and it had to do with, you know, making sure robots aren't making hiring and firing decisions without human input.
The fact that we even have something called the No Robot Bot is just wild to me that we're at that point in society. So these bots, these AI managers, they would handle disciplinary action in some cases?
Theoretically, they could. I mean, an AI can talk, you know, you can feed it. You know, data is your differentiator, but if you feed a bunch of, you know, employees feedback or, you know, disciplinary records or things like that, I mean, AI could craft a message and deliver it to someone.
Yeah, I don't know how serious people would take it. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong and people would listen because you can't have your AI bot maybe sass back at you like some managers might.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't have to worry about that grumpy boss or what mood is the AI in. So in some ways it could be beneficial, but like all these things, they come with a positive and negative side. And I think, you know, humans and computers have always worked better together throughout time. And in this aspect, I don't think that's any different. And since the dawn of the industrial age, people think, oh my gosh, this new technology is going to take over my job, but then new jobs get created. And I think, you know, we are at the, you know, the tipping point of some really interesting times ahead. And it's going to need to be a combination of regulations and, you know, people adopting this technology in a smart way. And we're going to make mistakes because it's a new technology. We're still learning how to use it. We're figuring out how to incorporate. I mean, the internet took a generation. I think it's going to take 5 to 10 years to see how it all plays out.
The bot's in a mood today. Heads up. The bot's having a bad Monday. I guess you wouldn't have to say that.
Nope.
Matt, is there any way to gauge like what percentage of companies in the United States are already implementing this to some degree?
Well, I can tell you as a practitioner and that does consulting work across the country, I would say on the West and East Coast, you're seeing some companies really trial it out, some of the big, you know, tech companies. But I think most organizations, at least the ones we work with, you know, which are the mid-market enterprises, are dipping their toe in the water. They're definitely testing it out. But I haven't seen like widespread adoption across most organizations. Who's really using it widely, it's probably a very, very small percentage. But I'd say probably 80-90% of companies out there are doing something, testing out AI to help solve a problem, to scan documents, to, you know, help with clinical trials, to, you know, help write articles, depending.
This is a good song, and this is probably the only Rolling Stones song that I know.
The only one?
I mean,
that's impossible.
Well, that I could, if you play it, I can instantly tell you that's Beast of Burden.
Released on this day in 1978.
We know there's a reason why you play every single song.
Every single song.
All right, I'm Kim St. Ange, filling in for Mark. He returns tomorrow. You know, we've all had the good bosses and just the really crappy bosses that you just can't wait until they leave, or maybe you leave. What do you think about having an AI boss, like a robo boss? Would that be better in some cases? You have to wonder. And that's why we asked Matt Rosen, who is the CEO and founder of Aleda, which is a technology consulting firm that's helping automate companies through AI. We asked him to join the show and explain this because apparently it's already happening. Matt, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on this morning.
So explain what this AI manager is.
Yeah, so if you think about what AI is really good at, it's great at automating tasks, it's great at creating insights out of vast amounts of data, and it's great at creating starting points. And so if you think about where an AI manager could be helpful, it might be distributing workload, might be good at helping employee communications, helping them solve problems. You know, we actually used AI to do our review process, but it still required humans to gather the feedback and feed the AI the feedback and then deliver the response. So I think what we're going to see is not where you report to an AI and never talk to a human, but where the person that you report to is aided by AI in some aspect of assigning you work. And in many ways, AI might be a bit more fair, especially as it, you know, comes to distributing workload and asking for time off and do it in a way that's non-biased. So I don't see your boss going away completely, but you may have a boss that's very heavily aided by an AI.
Well, I think with so many people working remotely after the pandemic, it's got to be hard for a lot of these managers to motivate their employees. You don't see them in the office, so you don't really know if they're staying on task and getting their work done in a timely manner. There were some interesting statistics about the success rate when you involve the AI manager in trying to keep people on task.
I saw the same survey, and it is interesting. You know, there are some companies out there that are trying this out where they're having, you know, AI, you know, trying to keep people motivated, sending them messages. And in many ways, you know, AI doesn't, you know, need to sleep or stop to rest. So it can be ongoing and encouraging people or helping them with their work or being a sounding board on things. So I think there is some merit to what is being discussed. What I don't see is a future where humans aren't regulating the AI or checking in, because ultimately people like to interact with other people. We have a lot of introverted people as part of our workforce that, you know, enjoy working from home. But what we find is they also crave being around other humans and having that human contact from time to time. So, and I'm also seeing a world where a lot of this work is going more hybrid, where people are actually going in the office from time to time. And so right now, you know, most of the AIs we're talking about live, you know, in the cloud. They're not, you know, physical equivalents. So I still see a future where humans go to places and interact and do ultimately report to another human. But, you know, a lot of the communication could be via an AI agent that people do in their daily lives.
Matt, what do you think is the biggest drawback of an AI boss?
Well, you need to maintain some level of fairness and make sure that it's not biased. So if you're going to have an AI engine distributing work, someone's got to check in on it to make sure it is distributing work in a fair way. Also, AI, you know, while it can show empathy, it's kind of a fake empathy, and so people might feel like the AI is disingenuous. So those are some of the challenges. But an AI also doesn't solve complex tasks. We see oftentimes when you feed it certain things, it'll come back with things that are incorrect, and you don't want it, you know, telling people to do the wrong thing. And so there's always got to be a human in the loop. And that's, you know, something we're big believers out of the LADA. We really are helping organizations identify what are the opportunities across their organization to use AI, and then quickly testing things to figure out, you know, which things are going to be viable so as they begin their AI journey.
Well, I believe in AI and making the workforce more efficient, the workplace more efficient. I can see some of the things you mentioned, scheduling and things like that. I just cannot imagine getting a text from an AI boss and seeing any value in that whatsoever. I think we should leave that kind of thing to the humans, right?
I agree, but think about this. You know, if you or I had an employee and they're late like 5 days in a row, we're going to get pretty irritated. AI doesn't get irritated. It's going to say, hey, you're late the fifth time in a row. So in some ways, you could take some of the emotion out of having to discipline an unruly employee. But yeah, if you're a hardworking professional, you know, in many different jobs, you probably aren't going to want to be talking to a computer, you know, 90% of the day. And that's where, again, I think it comes down to it's a human aided by AI, assigning work, you know, checking schedules, doing all the things a boss does, but still having that human touch and interaction. I think those that go too far to automate everything, I mean, you saw it with some of the Amazon warehouses, are going to face some backlash. In fact, there was a bill in Congress that didn't make it anywhere called the No Robot Bosses Act, and it had to do with, you know, making sure robots aren't making hiring and firing decisions without human input.
The fact that we even have something called the No Robot Bot is just wild to me that we're at that point in society. So these bots, these AI managers, they would handle disciplinary action in some cases?
Theoretically, they could. I mean, an AI can talk, you know, you can feed it, you know, data is your differentiator, but if you feed a bunch of, you know, employees feedback or, you know, disciplinary records or things like that, I mean, AI could craft a message and deliver it to someone.
Yeah, I don't know how serious people would take it. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong and people would listen because you can't have your AI bot maybe sass back at you like some managers might.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't have to worry about that grumpy boss or what mood is the AI in. So in some ways it could be beneficial, but like all these things, they come with a positive and negative side. And I think, you know, humans and computers have always worked better together throughout time. And in this aspect, I don't think that's any different. And since the dawn of the industrial age, people think, oh my gosh, this new technology is going to take over my job, but then new jobs get created. And I think, you know, we are at the, you know, the tipping point of some really interesting times ahead. And it's going to need to be a combination of regulations and, you know, people adopting this technology in a smart way. And we're going to make mistakes because it's a new technology. We're still learning how to use it. We're figuring out how to incorporate. I mean, the internet took a generation. I think it's going to take 5 to 10 years to see how it all plays out.
The bot's in a mood today. Heads up. The bot's having a bad Monday. I guess you wouldn't have to say that.
Nope.
Matt, is there any way to gauge like what percentage of companies in the United States are already implementing this to some degree?
Well, I can tell you as a practitioner and that does consulting work across the country, I would say on the West and East Coast, you're seeing some companies really trial it out. Some of the big you know, tech companies. But I think most organizations, at least the ones we work with, you know, which are the mid-market enterprises, are dipping their toe in the water. They're definitely testing it out. But I haven't seen like widespread adoption across most organizations. Who's really using it widely, it's probably a very, very small percentage. But I'd say probably 80-90% of companies out there are doing something, testing out AI to help solve a problem, to scan documents, to, you know, help with clinical trials, to, you know, help write articles, depending on what industry they're in. Everyone's trying it out, but I think we're still a long way from where organizations have like a AI strategy and policy and are training employees in it. You know, we became an AI first company about 18 months ago, so we've been trying to take the lead so that we can help our clients really get ahead as they decide to adopt this technology.
We know this is only the beginning, and what starts on the West and East Coast is usually going to find its way to the Midwest sooner rather than later. So, hey, Matt Rosen, CEO and founder of Aleda, thanks for giving us some time this morning.
All right. Thanks. Have a great day.
Take care. You too. You know, some police stations were using that technology, too, because it's so time consuming to type up the police reports and other court documents that I'd heard some St. Louis region police departments and courts were using this as a way to save time because they're so short staffed. And then I guess like a lieutenant, for example, would have to sign off on it before it could go live and become, you know, official record.
Yeah, I don't mind stuff like that. Efficiency is what this is supposed to be all about. What I don't like is the way AI writes in most cases. I'm sure it'll get better. But if you just leave it the way it is and don't check it, it's a problem. It sounds really overly flowery and misses the point sometimes. But on the other hand, I'm also amazed at how often it does actually get the point of, say, an audio piece, and it just sort of listens, in quote, and then transcribes it.
I see good in this, but it does scare me about where it's going. And like I was just saying, this is only the beginning of it. And I think there's going to be some really scary things that come out of this. And I think about all these college students who have access to this and I don't know. It just seems like there's got to be a way for them to cheat the system, because you hear about, oh, don't worry, you know, high schools and universities, they have this technology to combat that and detect if a student's trying to use AI, for example, to write an essay. But every time they find some way to combat it, well, somebody else finds a way to go, you know, have a loophole. And it's just going to be a vicious cycle of trying to keep up with this AI technology. And I don't know. Having an AI boss would be very interesting. Thank goodness the bosses here are great, and I mean that wholeheartedly. But I think we can all say we've probably worked for a boss we would maybe prefer would be robo-boss instead.
Yeah.
All right, when we come back, when I was shopping this weekend, I came across some interesting situations because of all the crime. Despite the city of St. Louis wanting to tell you that crime is declining, there are some things you too might run into if you're out and about shopping. These stores having to take drastic measures to try to stop all the theft. We'll be right back. I'm Kim St. Ange in for Mark Cox.
Not Kim on a whim, but Scott on the spot.
Scott on the spot is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Visit MissouriBrushControl.com.
All right. It is remarkable to me that my car has now been broken into 4 times in the last 2 years.
And this
less
is,
than.
This is all within the city of St. Louis?
Yeah, it's been in the city. And I, you know, I'm starting to think it's all my fault.
It is.
Somehow.
Do you put your valuables out of sight?
So what happened? Well, I usually don't have valuables.
He puts all his guns and his wallet right there on the front passenger seat.
That'll get to, I'll get to that in a second. Well, what happened this time is, I'm so sick of this happening, that I left my car unlocked on purpose.
I've heard people do that.
I walked away from the car and I was thinking, should I leave it unlocked or not? And then I said, you know what? This has happened 3 times. I'm going to leave it unlocked this time. And they still tried to get in. The fortunate thing was this time they only cracked my window. They didn't blow it all the way out with a boulder like they've done before or some other object. So I'm going to, I'm driving around with it with cracks in it right now. I'm going to have to get it fixed. But I see this sort of as a city tax to some extent, but I still, it's not my fault. I mean, I live in the city and I go places in the city and I want to be able to park without getting broken into. Anyway, Chief Tracy was on KMOX last weekend, and he said something that kind of bothered me. I really like him, by the way. But he said, you know, don't bring your gun in your car downtown because that's what they're looking for. Well, I don't own a gun. So they're still breaking into my car even though I don't have one. That's my problem with it. I get what he's saying. Don't leave it on the seat or something. I mean, obviously, but I don't even have one.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I don't know how to solve this problem.
Yeah. I mean, clearly enough, people are leaving them in their cars, despite people saying don't leave them in your cars, that they know that if they check enough that they're going to find some.
Right.
They're not looking for your Aldi quarter. They're not looking for your spare change. That would be valuable, by the way. If you took my Aldi quarter, I would not be happy. But yeah, you're right. It's a problem. Crime, they talk about how crime has gone down, though we know that the way that they report the crime statistics has changed. So quite frankly, I don't believe that. I don't think anybody feels safer in the city of St. Louis. And it's no wonder businesses do not want to invest here. Not only do they have the 1% earnings tax, but it's dangerous. It is. You shouldn't have to come worry about your car getting broken into four times. I mean, people coming from out of town or having their cars broken into, they're in St. Louis one night and their car is broken into. I was at Deerberg's this weekend, and I know that Mark has said this has happened to him at Schnucks, but I had never experienced it at Deerberg's, and all I went to was the UPS store in Deerberg's, and I'm walking out with my cart, and all of a sudden it just stops. I'm going through those sliding doors, and I keep pushing it, and it starts beeping at me, and I realize it was some anti-theft device where if it thinks you're trying to steal, the cart will quite literally stop and prevent you from leaving. So I know grocery stores are implementing that. And then I was also at Home Depot and I was having to go through the self-checkout lane. However, I wasn't able to check out my own items. It was actually an employee who was checking them out. My husband was there this weekend as well because we're working on that house project. And he said, yeah, I talked to them about it. And it's their new anti-theft approach. He said that theft has gotten so bad, I guess, according to this employee, supposedly, at Home Depot, that now the employees have to check out all the items. So it's backing up all the lines.
Yeah. On the break-in issue for me, I know that there is a man who was charged recently in St. Louis County for shooting at teenagers who were trying to break into cars. And one of them was killed. Not advocating anyone doing that, but there was a part of me going, I get it. I get why someone is so mad seeing these kids break into the car that they start shooting at them. They're looking for guns. Well,
I found a gun for you.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not advocating for that kind of thing because he's going to jail or he's in jail, but the sentiment, I understand. It's very, very frustrating.
I get it. I'm totally fed up with all the crime. It's really sad that stores are having to go to this length to try to prevent theft. I mean, I've not seen stores in the St. Louis area having to basically put everything behind a locked glass cabinet. But out in California, for example, I just saw a video this weekend. It was like some drugstore. I don't think it was like a CVS or a Walgreens, but some drugstore. The entire store was locked up. How irritating is that? That you'd have to go ask somebody, hey, I need deodorant. Could you go get that for me out of the locked cabinet?
What are the parents doing? Because most of these kids, most of this is teenagers.
Oh, I know. It is absolutely out of control. And if you want to build back the city of St. Louis, you need to get a handle on crime, and they're not doing that. Coming up after the break, Steve Rupp, president of Missouri Right to Life, talking about this massive ruling that happened on Friday that means that Amendment 3, that abortion amendment, may not be on the ballot in November. We'll be right back.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Not Kim on a whim, but Scott on the spot.
Scott on the spot is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Visit MissouriBrushControl.com.
All right. It is remarkable to me that my car has now been broken into four times in the last 2 years.
And this is all within the city of St. Louis?
Yeah, it's been in the city. And I'm starting to think it's all my fault.
It is.
Somehow.
Do you put your valuables out of sight?
So what happened? Well, I usually don't have valuables.
He puts all his guns in his wallet right there on the front passenger seat.
That'll get to I'll get to that in a second. Well, what happened this time is I'm so sick of this happening that I left my car unlocked on purpose.
I've heard people do that.
I walked away from the car and I was thinking, should I leave it unlocked or not. And then I said, you know what? This has happened three times. I'm going to leave it unlocked this time. And they still tried to get in. The fortunate thing was this time they only cracked my window. They didn't blow it all the way out with a boulder like they've done before or some other object. So I'm going to, I'm driving around with it with cracks in it right now. I'm going to have to get it fixed. But I see this sort of as a city tax to some extent, but I still, it's not my fault. I mean, I live in the city and I go places in the city and I want to be able to park without getting broken into. Anyway, Chief Tracy was on KMOX last weekend and he said something that kind of bothered me. I really like him, by the way, but he said, you know, don't bring your gun in your car downtown. Because that's what they're looking for. Well, I don't own a gun. So they're still breaking into my car even though I don't have one. That's my problem with it. I get what he's saying. Don't leave it on the seat or something. I mean, obviously. But I don't even have one.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I don't know how to solve this problem.
Yeah. I mean, clearly enough, people are leaving them in their cars. Despite people saying don't leave them in your cars, that they know that if they check enough that they're going to find some.
Right.
They're not looking for your Aldi quarter. They're not looking for your spare change. That would be valuable, by the way. If you took my Aldi quarter, I would not be happy. But yeah, you're right. It's a problem. Crime, they talk about how crime has gone down, though we know that the way that they report the crime statistics has changed. So quite frankly, I don't believe that. I don't think anybody feels safer in the city of St. Louis. And it's no wonder businesses do not want to invest here. Not only do they have the 1% earnings tax, but it's dangerous. It is. You shouldn't have to come worry about your car getting broken into four times. I mean, people coming from out of town or having their cars broken into, they're in St. Louis one night and their car is broken into. I was at Deerberg's this weekend, and I know that Mark has said this has happened to him at Schnucks, but I had never experienced it at Deerberg's, and all I went to was the UPS store in Deerberg's, and I'm walking out with my cart, and all of a sudden it just stops. I'm going through those sliding doors, and I keep pushing it, and it starts beeping at me, and I realize it was some anti-theft device, where if it thinks you're trying to steal, the cart will quite literally stop and prevent you from leaving. So I know grocery stores are implementing that. And then I was also at Home Depot and I was having to go through the self-checkout lane. However, I wasn't able to check out my own items. It was actually an employee who was checking them out. My husband was there this weekend as well because we're working on that house project. And he said, yeah, I talked to them about it. And it's their new anti-theft approach. He said that theft has gotten so bad, I guess, according to this employee, supposedly, at Home Depot, that now the employees have to check out all the items. So it's backing up all the lines.
Yeah. On the break-in issue for me, I know that there is a man who was charged recently in St. Louis County for shooting at teenagers who were trying to break into cars. And one of them was killed. Not advocating anyone doing that, but there was a part of me going, I get it. I get why someone is so mad seeing these kids break into the car that they start shooting at them. They're looking for guns. Well,
I found a gun for you.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not advocating for that kind of thing because he's going to jail or he's in jail, but the sentiment, I understand. It's very, very frustrating.
I get it. I'm totally fed up with all the crime. It's really sad that stores are having to go to this length to try to prevent theft. I mean, I've not seen stores in the St. Louis area having to basically put everything behind a locked glass cabinet. But out in California, for example, I just saw a video this weekend. It was like some drugstore. I don't think it was like a CVS or a Walgreens, but some drugstore. The entire store was locked up. How irritating is that you'd have to go ask somebody, hey, I need deodorant. Could you go get that for me out of the locked cabinet?
What are the parents doing? Because most of these kids, most of this is teenagers.
Oh, I know. It is absolutely out of control. And if you want to build back the city of St. Louis, you need to get a handle on crime, and they're not doing that. Coming up after the break, Steve Rupp, president of Missouri Right to Life, talking about this massive ruling that happened on Friday that means that Amendment 3, that abortion amendment, may not be on the ballot in November. We'll be right back.
Get more at 971talk.com.